Well, thank you so much. Good morning. Good to see you. All righty. I hope that you're happy to be in the Lord's house today. And I just want, amen. Revelation chapter 2. That's the last book in the Bible. We're going to be in chapter 2 this morning. But while you're turning there, let me first of all say thank you to you and Pastor David for allowing me to come this morning and preach what God has laid upon my heart. And I really believe today that if we will listen, we're going to hear from the Lord. And I believe that He has a word for each and every one of us. And secondly, I am so grateful. I don't know all of the details, but Pastor David, thanking y'all undoubtedly for pastor appreciation. Is that what it was for? I applaud you for that, because so often churches in this day and time are neglecting their pastors. And I promise you this, if you take care of God's man, God's going to take care of this church. And I really believe that with all of my heart. And this is your first pastorate, right? And be very kind to him, because this is his first pastorate. Makes me look back when I was at Arkwright and went there as my first serving as pastor. And man, it was a wonderful time. I still have friends, even though I left there in 2001. I still have folks that come to my mind that was a blessing in my life. And then also, thirdly, I know that you're not accustomed to being at church on Sunday night. Is that correct? But I want to encourage you to be back tonight. And the reason that I want you to be here is because I know that the message that God has given me, you need to hear. I believe that every person in this building, and maybe get on the phone this afternoon and call some folks, because it will relate to every single one of you. So let me encourage you to be back tonight at 6:30. But this morning, on my ride down from Rock Hill, it's not about a 35-minute drive, but I am truly amazed that when you pay attention, how many churches that you pass. I mean, have you ever been overwhelmed about that? I mean, when you began to think about the churches that are out there, between here and Rock Hill, South Carolina, I live out in the Leslie community. I mean, there's all sorts of churches that I pass today. I pass some large buildings. I pass some smaller buildings. Some were brick. Some churches were meeting in storefronts. There were churches that were probably made up of black folks and white folks, rich and poor. And there were large churches and there were small churches. I passed one church that had a parking lot that was full, passed another church that only had 5 vehicles. But I began to think that all of these churches that we pass, and then I began to think about Lowry's First Baptist Church. And I believe that's who we need to deal with today. What if the Lord Jesus Christ came today and did an inspection of Lowry's First Baptist? What would he find? Now, he would find a building that you are proud of and you take care of. Find a great looking group of people that come and worship him on a consistent basis. And then he begins to look deeper. Because I want to remind you about something this morning, that according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 13, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the midst of 7 churches. Now, many of you know that those 7 churches are known as the churches of Asia Minor. You have the church of Ephesus all the way down to the last church mentioned, the church of Laodicea. But I want you to remember something about those 7 churches. Every single one of those churches were a local assembly. In other words, there was a church meeting in Ephesus that the Lord inspected. And all the way down to church of Thyatira, the church of Pergamos, and then the last church of Laodicea, the Lord looked in and he began to look at what they were doing, and he began to tell them by way of the pastor some things that they were doing that some needed to continue, but some needed to change. Because I really believe today, if there was ever a time when church needs revival, it's today. I mean, we just came out of some say we're out of it, some say we're not, when it comes to that the pandemic of COVID. And I don't know about this church, but I can tell you this, that our church, it was very different. It was very unusual, something that they did not teach us in Bible college or Bible seminary on how to pastor a church in the midst of a pandemic. And talking to many pastors, and I can testify even to the church that I pastor, there's still some things that have not got back to normal yet. But if there's something that is needed, there is a revival. Now, what exactly, and I know Pastor David is probably leading up to these moments, have talked to you about what revival would be. Because I promise you this, that when I got in my car this morning and my wife and I drove down here, I didn't pack revival and bring it to you. And I can promise you this, even though we have a series of scheduled of 5 meetings, I can promise you this, that does not necessarily mean that we're going to experience revival. Now, I know we use words to communicate and we use the word revival, but I can tell you this, that we can sing and we can preach and we can go through the motions, and then when we shut down the lights and lock the door on Wednesday night and we can go back to our homes, it does not mean that we had revival. But I can tell you this, we can have revival. We can experience a And I basically call revival just a fresh touch from God where you and I are obedient unto Him. But let me just share with you that today in Revelation chapter 2, and primarily we're going to deal with the church at Ephesus, on about 3 or 4 things that if this church, Lowry's First Baptist Church, if Calvary Baptist Church were our pastor, if we're really going to be a church that pleases the Lord, because knowing your pastor the way I do, I probably understand very well that he goes to bed each and every night or gets up each and every morning wanting to be the pastor that pleases the Lord and wants First Baptist of Lowry's to be the church that pleases the Lord as well, because I believe that that might be a church that is not the norm nowadays. Would you agree with me that there's just a lot of churches just going through the motions? I mean, they're just opening the doors because it's Sunday and that's the thing we do. But my friend, I want God to impact this church. Because I can tell you this, if God impacts the church, you're going to impact the community. And if you impact this church and you impact the community, you're going to begin to impact the county and the state. And you're going to have an outreach that you're going to see lives being changed for the glory of Almighty God. Now, I ask my people a lot, and I'm going to ask you as well, because for the next 5 nights, I'm going to be your pastor. If Wednesday, you can fire me. But I want to make sure you listen. Don't drift. Don't think about what you're going to do this afternoon. Don't think about what you're going to do this week. And let's look at what the Lord tells, first of all, the church of Ephesus, that when we really are doing and pleasing the Lord, one of the things going to be apparent is our love for the Lord will be evident. Now, if you look at in the scripture in chapter 2, and notice if you would in verse number 4, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because thou hast left your first love." Now, understand this morning that at first Jesus was applauding the church at Ephesus. He was telling them what a great job that they were doing, and they were laboring in the Lord and the programs that they had. They were being very effective. But all of a sudden, in that 4th verse, the Lord kind of threw a bomb at them and said, "But this is one thing that you need to look at, not only in our churches, but our individual lives. And that is our intimacy with the Savior. Is your love for Jesus evident for those that are around you?" When you go in on your job tomorrow, or you go in your home this afternoon, or when you come to the house of God, is your love for the Lord Jesus Christ just oozing out of you? Because I can tell you this, that if your relationship with the Lord is evident the way it should, and you say, I love the Lord with all of my heart, one of the things that you're going to do is you're going to spend time with the Lord. I remember when I was dating my wife, and man, do y'all remember that first love that you had? Now help me out this morning. You remember that little girl or that little boy that were perhaps in your school or across the street from you or next door to you, and all of a sudden you began to date that individual and you began to take them out to eat or maybe went somewhere and spent some time together, and then all of a sudden you found that your affection for that person began to grow. It began to grow so much that you would rather be around them than doing anything else. My friend, some of you guys may have used to love to play ball or to watch ball on TV, and all of a sudden you fell in love with that girl and you would rather spend time with her and go on a picnic with her or go on a walk with her instead of watching the ball game or playing ball. Why? Because you grew affectionately toward that person and all of a sudden you said those words, I love you. That my affection is toward you. That my intimacy is toward you. That I want to spend time with you. And my friend, this morning, I hope with all of my heart that what you have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is more than just going through a ritual. It's more than just showing up to a building on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. But every day of your life that you get closer and closer to the Lord, and that you can sing every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Why? Because if you love Him, you're going to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true today? Say amen.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something else we're going to do. And remember that this is when the love of Jesus is evident. Jesus told the church at Ephesus, there's something that's somewhat against you. You've left. And that word left literally means that you've abandoned. They were once there, and then all of a sudden things become in their life that was more important than their time with Jesus. But not only are you going to spend time with Him, but you're going to worship Him. I think this morning that the priority of a child of the living God, your priority today, my priority this morning, is that we always remember that our love for Him will lead us to worship Him. Now, let me share a story that happened in the Bible. And that is whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth. And you remember that a lawyer asked Him a question. Now, the question that the lawyer posed to the Lord Jesus Christ is, what is the greatest commandment of all? Now, today, if we did a survey and we began with Pastor David and went all the way around the room and one by one, I say, all right, which one of you, which is the greatest commandment of all? Now, you must understand that that lawyer was not just talking about the Ten Commandments, but he was talking about the oral precepts, which some say there were over 600 commandments that this lawyer was referring to. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to stump Jesus Christ. He was trying to say, perhaps he's not going to give the right answer. But you know that Jesus boiled it down to two things, and it all centers around one thing. He said, first of all, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul, with all of your body. In other words, he said, love the Lord thy God with every ounce of being that you are. And then he said, the second great commandment is this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he said that first commandment is that we are to give our affection, our soul, our mind, our body, our total worship unto Him. You realize today that when we come in and we sing the old hymns of Zion, That, my friend, don't just focus on the music, but as was pointed out to us today, focus on those words. Aren't you glad today that there was a moment in your life where Jesus touched you? He came to where you were, lost and undone, down in the pit of sin, and Jesus come to you. Why? Because he loves you with an everlasting love. And as soon as God saves our soul, it should be a reciprocal thing that now God loves me. He died for me. He saved me. And now my obligation and my obedience and my adoration is unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know. Going back to that first love, did you brag about that person? Man, when you tell, man, I love that old gal. I love that old guy. In other words, you were excited. And my friend, we should be the same way about Jesus Christ. When we go into the store, when we go down to the firehouse, or we go out into the community, my friend, they should see, my friend, he's in love. And he or she is in love with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then that third thought is that not only are we going to spend time, not only are we going to worship, but we're going to serve him. There's a little song that, now I'm not a singer, so I'm not going to sing. But it said, I will serve him because I love him. Can I ask you a question this morning? Why do you serve the Lord? I mean, let's just lay it out on the table today. Why do you serve God? Is it for the return? Is it for the applause? Is it for the award? But you know what Jesus did to Peter? Peter, remember, Peter was the one that denied Jesus three times. You remember Jesus was being beaten. He was about to be crucified. Peter was standing around the barrel. You know, some guys, when we build those with those 500-gallon barrels, and we'll put or 50-gallon barrel, we'll put a fire in it and we'll stand around. Peter and a bunch of them were standing there on the night that Jesus was crucified. And the Bible said that three times Peter denied knowing Jesus. In fact, the Bible said that he began to lift up cursings and blasphemes toward heaven. I don't know the man. I don't know who you're talking about. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says that Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. And then the scriptures tell us that Jesus died. He was crucified and he was put into a grave. But aren't you glad this morning that he came back on the third day? And today we don't serve a dead God, we serve a living God. But the Bible says that he took old Peter. Now I want you to grab this. I want you to stay with me. Are you still with me? Say amen. Come on.
Amen.
You know what Jesus did? Peter denied him around a fire. So Jesus went out and Peter was fishing. And Jesus went out on the seashore and he built a campfire. And Peter saw that it was Jesus, and Peter swam to the seashore, and all the other disciples came with him came behind him on the boat. And all of a sudden, here's Jesus with his disciples, had a fire, fed them breakfast. And you know what? Now get this. Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" He asked him that. And you know what Peter said? Peter said, "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." Jesus looked at Peter again and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." In other words, go out and serve me. And then the third time, Jesus asked again, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter got kind of upset about the Lord, "You know that I love you." And he said, "Go out and feed my sheep." You know what Jesus was trying to teach Peter? Before we go out and serve, our heart of love and affection for our Lord should be where it is. You see, at the church at Ephesus, getting back to our text, they didn't have a service problem. They didn't have enough program problem. Their problem was they had abandoned their affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going through the motions. They were just going through the ritual. But the Lord said, "No, that's not what you can do." But let me give you a second thing this morning. I notice y'all don't have a clock on y'all's wall. They time me at Calvary. So when you had enough or just get up and leave, I said, well, they got all they needed. But there's a second thing. And I believe this is important today in our world. If we're going to have a church that's going to make an impact, if Lowry's First Baptist, number one, your love for the Lord, he says it needs to be evident. And number two, the authority of the Scripture needs to be exercised. I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number three, or verse number two, it says, "Thou and toward, I know thy works, your labor, your patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil." Now, who are they that are evil? "And thou hast tested or tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast been found them to be liars." You know what he just said? He said there are some that are coming in, that are coming under the banner of an apostle. And we know back in the early church that the apostles were the ones sent forth by our Lord. And they were coming in and saying that we have a word from God. But in reality, it was untruth. In reality, the Bible says that y'all found them to be liars. Now what is a liar today? A liar is someone who pretends to tell the truth, but in reality, they don't tell the truth. And understand this morning, where we're living in 2022, one of the things that is evident that needs to happen, and I really believe that Pastor David is that type of man that stands in the pulpit and with authority preaches the word of Almighty God. That he stands and preaches, "Thus saith the Lord." My friend, this morning in our pulpits across our land, we don't need more men to stand in the pulpit to entertain our congregations, to put on a show for our congregations. What our folks need, what I need, what Calvary needs is a good teaching of the Word of Almighty God. Because if we're not careful and the Word of God begins to take second place in our churches, you know what's going to happen? That means that authority is going to be abandoned. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Where does authority come from in the church today? I mean, where is our authority? Because if our authority is coming from a standing committee or team, if our authority is even, the ultimate authority is even coming from the pastor himself, even though I believe that the pastor is the spiritual leader of the church, but where does the authority come from? It comes from the word of Almighty God. Amen. That when a man stands up and he preaches, "Thus saith the Lord," we're not to water it down. We're not to alter it. We're not to come in and make somebody feel good. We're not to ignore it. But we're to stand on the truth of the word of God. You begin to look in the Bible and you look at the apostles. You look at the Old Testament prophets. You look at a man like John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, you probably studied a lot about him. Number one, he probably wouldn't be welcomed back after his first message in our modern day churches. I mean, he had a weird dress as far as his attire was concerned. He had a weird diet by what he ate. And I promise you this, he probably had long hair. He had a long beard. But my friend, he didn't pull any punches. You remember when he told Herod that, "Hey, listen, what you're doing, the woman that you're sleeping with is not your wife, and it's not right." But now John the Baptist could have said, "Well, you know, I'm not going to nitpick. I'm not going to bother. I'm not going to really say, 'Thus saith the Lord.'" Because what happened to John the Baptist for his stand on truth? The Bible said that he lost his head. He was beheaded. And you see, today we live in a culture. Now, I don't know what type of church this is. I don't know if you're recipients and you digest the truth as God gives it. But I know there's a lot of churches out there, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what God says. Because I'm going to tell you, because when God gives us what he wants us to have, you know what we got to do? We got to make a decision. It's either going to be what I want or what I say or what God says in his word. Because you ever heard somebody say, "Well, You know, God said it, I believe it, so that settles it. You ever heard that? But that's not right. God said it, that settles it. Whether I believe it, whether you believe it, it is still the inerrant, infallible word of Almighty God. And if we do not have the authority exercised in our churches, then all of a sudden truth is going to be ignored. Truth is going to be altered. And now we live in a generation, maybe some seated right here, that says, well, preacher, I don't believe in absolute truth. Well, the Bible is absolute truth. The scripture tells us, Jesus said, that I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. What did he say? The truth shall set you free. And I believe this morning that you and I, as children of Almighty God, and I really pray that in this community, now I don't know how many churches are within a radius of where, I've never been where I'm at today. I got here by GPS. That's how we arrived. And I don't live far away. I don't know what the testimony is of Lowry's First Baptist in this community. But I hope that this community, if we began right now to go up and down this highway and go up and begin to knock on these doors, even though they may not come to this church, tell me what you think about First Baptist of Lowry's. That my friend, I hope that they would be willing to say, well, my friend, I'll tell you this, it's a church that loves the Lord. It is a church that loves one another. And it is a church that stands on the word of Almighty God. That they're not going to shy away from it. They're not going to water it down. They're not going to get rid of it. They're going to stand on the word of God. Because the last thing, if we don't exercise authority on the word of God, you know what happens? Sin is tolerated. Look at our world today. Now, there's some of you old timers that if I sat down with you after the service and I began to say, man, look what's going on in our world today. Some of you saying, I never thought that I would see the day when things are happening the way they are. I mean, I have folks, preacher, I've never, ever, ever seen it like this. I've had grandma and granddad say, man, it wasn't like this when I was raising my children, where all of a sudden that everything is right and nothing is wrong. That's where we live today. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what the church says. It just matters what makes me feel good. If it makes me feel good, then I am okay. But understand today, we've got to stand on truth. And sometimes folks don't like the truth, even though it would help them out. You know, there's some medicine that I hate to take. Thank God I don't have to take a lot of medicine. I mean, if I had to take NyQuil, I'd probably just say, no, I'm not doing that. That stuff just gags me. But let me tell you something. They say it will help you. If you got sinuses draining or a sinus blockage or some kind of sinus pressure, even though the stuff doesn't taste good and you get it down and you kind of make a bad face, but it helps you. Brother David, I've been preaching a little bit longer than you. And I preached and I saw a lot of sour faces while I preached. Not because that was a kind, but because of their rejection of the truth. My friend, understand, I hope when this week is over, I pray you already do, that this is just going to be a builder, that you stand on the truth. And can I just share this? Can I plug this? And he didn't pay me to say this. When you get mad at the preacher and he's standing on truth, don't get mad at him. Take it up with God. Because all preachers are, if they're doing what they're supposed to do, they're just messengers. You don't beat up UPS if they bring you bad news, do you? No. Because they're just the delivery boys. You don't get angry with them. You get angry with the one who sent it. And that's the same principle. Because Jesus said, he told this church at Ephesus, hey, don't forsake. Continue to stand on truth. Let me give you a third right quickly, and I'm almost done. I got two more. I won't preach them as long. The third thing is this. that there has to be a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. There's an unusual thing, and I don't have time this morning to go through all of them, but how many of you remember how many churches there were in Asia Minor? I said it earlier. Seven. Do you know there's one thing that he said to all seven churches? And you know what that one thing is? You can go and you can check me out, not while I'm preaching, but this afternoon, while you began to look at the end of every church, at the end of Ephesus, at the end of Thyatira, at the end of Pergamos, at the end of Laodicea, and the other three. You know what he said to them? He said, "Him that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto them." Now, and if you go and you look at that word Spirit, you will discover that it is a reference to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know where I'm at today, as far as not geographically, but I know that I'm in a Baptist church. And I'll be honest with you, I tell our church the same thing. I'm not giving you anything that I don't give our church. But I tell them, see, some folks are scared to death of the Holy Spirit. They are. I mean, I wish I had time to digest all of this, but, you know, we have one extreme on this side that we may call them by different denominations that they may say, well, they overwhelm the Holy Spirit of God, or they're extremists on that. But then you got some on this side that don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because they're afraid of what the Holy Spirit is going to lead them to do. And can I be honest with you this morning? The Holy Spirit is not going to ever lead you to do anything that's contrary to God. And in fact, as I study the Word, I come to know this, that a church, Lowry's First Baptist, Calvary Baptist in Rock Hill, all of those churches that I passed on my way down, you cannot be the church that God desires for us to be if we do not allow the Spirit of God to lead our church. Amen. We must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'll take it a step further. Those of you that are married, you cannot have the marriage that God wants you to have unless the Holy Spirit of God is leading your home. You say, what do you mean? Go read Ephesians 5. When Ephesians 5 tells us about the Spirit-filled life, and he begins to talk about the husband loving the wife as Christ loved the church, and that the husband and wife submissive one to another, that they got Jesus first and center of their home. And see, God wants to not only lead our churches, he wants to lead our home individually today. You'll never be the great worker that you can be unless the Spirit of God is leading your life. You see, we've taken this misconception about the Holy Spirit. Because I pray, I believe today that as I stand and I talk to you, you may not get it. But I promise you this, the message that I'm preaching before you today, I didn't just think it up in my mind. I sure didn't go to some television preacher and get it from him. I didn't go to a book and get it. I listened to the Lord. Lord, what do you want First Baptist of Lowry's to hear today? And this is the message that God says, by the power of the Spirit of God, I want you to hear. Now, what you do with it, that's your call. But I want to tell you something. Remember this. Now, you're still with me. Amen. Amen. Come on. You remember when Jesus, now get this, Jesus, he was resurrected and he spent 40 days on the earth after his resurrection. 40 days. And here's what he told his disciples. He said, okay guys, I'm going away. I'm going back to heaven. And remember in Acts 1, he ascended back to the Father. But he told them this, now get this. He said, but I want you, before you go out there and start serving, before you go out there knocking on doors, before you go out there and get these programs all lined up for the church, he said, wait. Now understand something. They were ready to go. But he said, wait. Because here's what he told me. He said, wait for the fulfilling of the promise of the Father. And you know what the promise of the Father was? that the Holy Spirit, remember what Jesus said? He told his disciples, I must go because it's expedient. That's the word he used. It's necessary that I go that the Holy Spirit might come. And you remember on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, when the Bible says that they had been in the upper room. Don't ever discount praying. They had been in the upper room praying for 10 days. And then all of a sudden the Bible said that there was a mighty rushing wind. The Bible didn't say Peter stood up and preached. James didn't stand up and preach. Andrew didn't stand up and preach. They prayed. And all of a sudden the Bible says that mighty rushing wind and like cloven tongues of fire. And it was about 120 of them. And it began to set on each one of them, which was symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God, the promise of the Father had come. And you know what God was saying? Now you're ready. Now you're ready to go out and to reach a world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you didn't have, and now you're ready to go. Now you have the power, the influence, and the presence of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, because we can't, listen, we cannot manipulate God's power. We do it when we surrender our life and who we are to Him, that the Holy Spirit of God might dwell and might rule and guide each and every one of us. Because you know this, and I'm going to the last point. You know this, don't you? Look at these old bodies. We had a mirror. Ladies, you pull out a compact today, and you began to look at your body. And you say, wow. And then remember this. Remember this. The Bible says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You do know. Now let me say this and we're going to get on. You do know that the Holy Spirit of God doesn't hover in these rafters waiting on you to come to church. When you walk out of these doors in a little bit, guess what? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God's going with you. Everywhere you go, everything you watch, everything you listen to, the Holy Spirit of God is privy to. Because He is ever present in our life. Yeah. You ever seen that show called The Big Brother? And you feel like you're on Big Brother all the time because how everybody's watching you, everybody's listening to you. I mean, we got that crazy newfangled thing. What's that thing you talk to and she talks back? Siri, Alexa. I told my wife, I said, you know, I think they're always listening to us. I mean, I really do. I mean, I think, man, because every now and again, we'll be sitting there and that thing will start, the light will start doing something. I said, oh, they're listening. But you know what? Somebody more important is listening every day. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Bible says as believers, we can grieve Him and we can quench Him. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit, you know, you've grieved. The Holy Spirit is he's a person. And you know when you grieve somebody, disappoints them, hurts them. And the Bible says we do the same thing. But let me close with this. And please don't miss this one. Because you see, the fourth thing is that we must have a heart and compassion for the lost that causes excitement. You know, I don't know if any of you have ever been to Calvary Baptist Church. I know one lady said she went to a singing there. I know David has been there. Calvary Baptist Church is, we're located on an old mill village. The old industrial mill. And I grew up in that neighborhood. And I'm going to tell you, I told my wife yesterday sitting on our back porch, I said, you know, my heart is so overwhelmed for our community, but our community is so hard to reach now because it's a transitory neighborhood. And what I mean, a lot of their houses are rentals where a lot of times folks might not be there but a month or two and then they're gone. But see, when I grew up there, it was more ownership because folks worked in the old mill and they owned the homes, but now they've died out, sold out, and moved out. I'll be honest with you, we can probably count on two hands, maybe one hand, in our church how many attends Calvary Baptist Church from our community. We've tried. I mean, we went out one day, and one Saturday, right after COVID hit, because we knew a lot of folks were having difficult times financially. So we went out and purchased a bunch of
just gift cards, $30 gift cards. And we just went door to door, knocking on their door, said, listen, we don't want anything in return. All we want to do is say, number one, do you have somebody or something we need to pray with you about? And number two, we want to give you this gift card. Some even refused that. They didn't want it. But you know, to this day, I do not think, and we passed out a bunch. I mean, we had a bunch of people going in our community. But I don't think one person came in the doors of the church because of that. We live in a community. Let me just share it with you. You see, we live in a community, and I'm not condoning this. I'm using this as an example. So please come back tonight. But in that community, when I was growing up, you would see you would see folks sitting on the front porch. And I'll say some of them were smoking a cigarette. Some of them might be drinking a beer. But when you walked up to them, they were always receptive to what you have to say. Because a lot of them would put the cigarette out and hide the beer behind a chair leg. But I was talking to a guy in our community. In fact, I grew up with this boy. And he's in our community. He's homeless. And I was talking to him one day in our church, and we were just, and I was just sharing with him. I'm not going to share his name. He said he's saved. But he was telling me, he said, Reggie, he said, you don't understand how this community has changed because you're not on it like I am anymore. He said, but used to that man that would smoke a cigarette or drink a beer that would be receptive, now all he wants is a good dose of meth. And I don't know if you know this. Meth is a problem everywhere, but meth will tear your mind up. And you go out there today, and we see them. I promise you, we have them come to our church doors every single week, daily during the week, wanting help. But really, all they're wanting is the next high. All they're wanting is for us to give them money to help them to get their next high. And see, we're burdened. But see, one of the things I try to lead our church, no matter how bad it gets, we can't ever excuse ourselves not to share the answer that they need. Because understand, the answer that they need is not that next high. The answer that they need is the one that can deliver them from the addiction that they have. Because I promise you this, I believe this, you may not. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is still powerful enough to remove the addictions that we encounter. I believe that His power is strong enough that we can say no to the things of this world and no to the things that is going to bring us down. But the message that this world needs, the message that this community needs to hear is that God loves you. God loves you with an everlasting love. God loves you with a sacrificial love. God loves you with a love that will never run out and never run dry. No matter how bad you've been, God still loves you. And one of the things that literally blows my mind, but it is built upon the truth of the Word of God. Do you realize today that that man or woman that is out in the street, they might be hooked on drugs. They might be hooked on pornography. They might be hooked on all sorts of things in their life, and the world looks down at, and unfortunately, the church is putting their nose down to them. But can I tell you today that God loves them out there just as much as He loves you sitting in here? God's love is not varied. God didn't love me more when I become saved. The Bible says that God loved me while I was yet in my sin, that He demonstrated His love toward me. That 2,000 years ago, when He died on that old cruel Roman cross, you know what I was saying? I love Reggie. And you know what He's saying to you today? He loves you. Amen. And that's what this community needs to hear. That's what this community needs to be told. I'm tired of hearing about folks coming to churches. I'm tired of hearing about folks coming in our churches. And I'm not saying this church, because I'm not in a Baptist church. Where they are being judged. And they're being asked to leave. And they're not being demonstrated the love of Almighty God. You want revival? I mean, really, do you want revival? Well, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you're going to be revived, you're going to have a love for me that's evident. The authority of your life is going to be exercised by the Scripture. You're going to allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead and direct your life, lead and direct this church. And you're going to have a compassion of those that are on the outside that are lost. And they're needing answers. So here's the question of the hour. Here's the question of the morning that God wants this church to answer. What are you going to do? Is this just going to be another Sunday morning message where you take it, go eat your lunch, go home, take your afternoon nap, and forget it? Because I really believe today that there's many of you. I don't even know who the deacons are. I don't know who the leaders are of this church. But I really believe this morning every leader should be down on this altar in just a moment praying, God, I need you. And this church needs you. Let us be the church that if you come and inspect it today and you wrote some more in the Bible, and you wrote about in the Scripture in Revelation chapter 2, if you did an addendum and you wrote to the 8th church and it was the First Baptist of Lowry's, that you could look at us and say, Lord, we're doing what you've called us to do. We love you with an everlasting love. And today we want to reach this world, this community, one person, one house at a time. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor David. What about it today? Will you come? You may need to talk to David, but I really believe this altar should be full. If you're a member of this church, I don't see what would hold you back from coming to this altar today. Getting on your knees. And if you can't get on your knees, sit on the front pew. And if you can't sit on the front pew, stand at the altar and say, Lord, this is what I'm willing to do. I love you with everything that I have. And I want to serve you. And I want this church. Oh, how I want this church to be revived. Dear Lord, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you have done. And Lord, right now I'm praying in Jesus' name that during this time of invitation that this church as a whole would say, we have to listen to the Lord. So Lord, will you move now in Jesus' holy name? Amen.